Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 27th of December, recording at 7:45 p.m. That's British Standard Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Thailand and Japan were the best performers in Asia, up just over 1% on Thailand, and I think 0.9% for the Japanese indices. Now, Europe is very quiet here today, but mostly steady. And I should mention that in both Asia and also Europe, we have short-term overbought conditions. Now, Wall Street's down today. We haven't reached the close yet, but we do have the S&P down. Well, it's just moved back under 1%, but it has been down 1% for most of the day here to date. And a lot of this has to do, of course, well, I think it all has to do here with the fiscal cliff impasse. And this is now affecting regional markets because we see that Canada is soft again in here today, and so is Mexico, which has been one of the outstanding performers on the year, and so is Brazil, which has seen a good rebound in recent months. I'm going to apologize for the scratchy voice, not quite sure what that's about. Maybe too much holiday fun? Not really. It's been a lot of fun, but a very quiet period. But here we are. Now, government bonds are mostly firmer in here today, and so they're recovering from a short-term oversold condition, and that may well continue for a little longer. Certainly, if the Wall Street weakness does spread. Now, precious metals are firmer in here today, mildly firmer. But as I say that, gold is $11 off its low here. Spot gold is currently trading at $16.64.50. That's up $4.75. And this morning it got down as low as 16.52.79. So a little bit of encouragement here on the precious metal side, but while gold is still down over the last couple of months, and palladium, and this is very interesting, that touched a new high, its highest level since March. And in doing so, it got up to $710 and is currently trading at $707, and that's up $1,460. So whereas gold and silver are trading they're sort of in the lower middle side of their ranges, we've got palladium here considerably stronger. Now, in currencies, the main story is still very much the Japanese yen's weakness, and it's still moving in line with new Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's reflationary vision. Makes that an interesting story. More on that in a moment. What does concern me most here at year end is that I have an uneasy feeling about the whole fiscal cliff issues. Now, so far, markets and most commentators have been putting a positive spin on it, and they've been predicting, erroneously so far, that we would have an agreement before year end. And I think the thinking behind this is that surely the politicians couldn't be so stupid as to allow the U.S. economy to go into the emergency measures and pay some of the penalties that had been put in place just to avoid the impasse over the fiscal cliff. But so far, as I say, markets have been reasonably relaxed, but that's albeit with the benefit of a massive quantitative easing QE tailwind. Now, what's happened more recently, though, is that the S&P 500 index has been sliding beneath a lower high that we've seen since the 19th of December. Now, that's only down maybe 50 points from the 19th of December, but I'll repeat that point about a lower high. And then, of course, we know that as of today, the fiscal cliff issue so far remains very much an impasse. Now, as I see it, we have a lefty Democrat White House and an ideological Republican-controlled House of Representatives, and they're refusing to agree on a sensible fiscal compromise, which, of course, is the art of governance, after all. And they're refusing to agree for reasons that probably do not matter all that much to the majority of U.S. citizens. We've seen this happen before, of course, and it can easily occur where we have a division of powers within the government. But it probably matters much more this time, given the USA's runaway government debt. And there is a risk as we end the year and move into January. There is a risk that investors take temporary fright in here. And I certainly don't think that that would be a good situation at all. And investors are beginning to, well, they've been voting with their feet. I was going to say beginning to vote with their feet, but they've been doing that really since October, because the US dollar, in I beg your pardon, there's a very interesting graph in the weekly view coming from Riverfront, and that shows an MSCI All Country World Index versus the U.S. relative to the Standard and Poor's 500. And what that basically shows is that the U.S. had been outperforming for the most part since the beginning of this year, and that continued right on into September and early October. But subsequently, the rest of the world has been outperforming the U.S. market by a pretty good clip. Now, we know why. The European situation has become better in the sense that people are no longer talking about crisis every time they mention Europe. And Mario Draghi's done a very effective job, at least in getting some sort of cooperation going. And obviously the other politicians and administrators have participated in that. And we've also seen the sharp rebounds by Japan on Shinzo Abe's challenge and successful election, and his vow to weaken the yen and to reflate the Japanese economy, something we certainly haven't seen for a very long time. And then we've had the very positive development of China's rebound with the new administration and starting to take over. And that all feels good. But the fiscal cliff is a factor here as well, and in terms of weakening Wall Street. And if that gathers pace, it would be a little bit of a hurdle here as we begin 2013, because Wall Street, of course, is the biggest market in terms of capitalization, and the U.S. economy is by far the world's largest economy. So there would be a knock-on effect, and that's a concern. As we end this year and enter 2013, the most positive markets we maintain are China and Japan. They're certainly the best performing recently, and I think they're the most interesting given what's actually going on. And China, of course, is the world's second largest economy, and the world's second largest stock market is very, very influential overall. And you've seen the way that's lifted many mining shares in the last couple of months. And you see the way it's boosted Brazil, which is now being dragged a little bit lower by the U.S. Fiscal cliff problems. And you've seen the way commodity producing markets have responded, including Australia. And Australia, sorry, Owen has done a very, very good review here of Australian equities, which I commend to you. And on that note, all the best. I'll do another audio tomorrow evening, of course.